read. And so how do you give a Bible to someone and have them understand Jesus if they can't read it, even if it was in their own language? And so he developed a tool called discussion discipleship, where he helps people understand the Word of God by telling them a story. His ministry witnesses and teaches mostly to the Muslims in Asia, the Hindus in India, and the Latinos in Central America. Powerful, powerful ministry is happening since 2008, a very short time for a ministry to be in existence and have this kind of result going on. So today's message is on the theme of Thanksgiving. It is an example of learning to seriously follow Jesus through hearing and applying God's word to our own lives. Through hearing and applying, making one decision to apply what you've heard. Now, how many of you got up this morning and said, I'm serious about applying God's word to my life? I'm serious about it. So today, you're going to help me preach this sermon. It will be a different approach, and it should be a lot of fun. I hope it's fun for you. And so what I'd like you to do is right now gather together in groups of 3 to 6, just right where you're sitting. Now, if you need to move around a little bit to get in some groups, do so, okay? Move around to groups right now. Ready? Go. Get into some groups. Get together so you can visit a little bit with each other. Properly introduced. Take the sermon outline in your bulletin, take it out, and follow along. Notice I've titled today's message not Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving. And we'll talk about that at the end of the message. The story we're going to share today is out of Luke chapter 17. And before we go to that story, let's pray. Father God, thank you so very much for your word. It's good, it's true, it pierces even to the depths of the heart, divides bone and marrow, and Lord, goes to our innermost being. Father, your word is powerful. It does not return void. It always has the effect and impact you intend on every heart who hears the word of God. Thank you for your truth today, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you some background to the story we're going to be talking about today. Old Testament background, whenever some Jews had skin disease, if you read in Leviticus 14, they had a skin disease and that disease was healed, they needed to go and show themselves to the priest. And if the priest said, yep, you're healed, all right, declared them healed, and then they had to go through a number of cleansing ceremonies and sacrifices. They needed to provide anything from a male sheep to, if they couldn't afford that, a couple of doves. And those doves, those sacrifices were made along with a flour and some olive oil. And they had to go through about 2 weeks' worth of ceremonial being cleansed. And once they were declared cleansed, they could re-engage community. Think about that. Unclean, no relationship. Think about Thanksgiving. Can't go be with my family. I'm unclean. That would be hard. And so when the skin disease was healed and they were declared clean, they could re-engage their community and their family. The context of our story today is in with Jesus, who is in Luke chapter 17, starting to finish and wrap up his ministry. His three-year ministry, Jesus goes to Jerusalem four times throughout that three and a half years of ministry. He goes to Jerusalem four times, two of them for a Passover, in which this one, he is going to Jerusalem, is the Passover feast. In this account, Jesus is in northern Israel, in the region of Galilee. Think of the Sea of Galilee. He's traveling south on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. He's going to complete his mission and become the final sacrifice once for all for the sin of all mankind, for you and me. Imagine the emotional weight Jesus is carrying, knowing he's going to the cross when he gets to Jerusalem. Just close your eyes for a moment and think about perhaps your heaviest emotional moments. Multiply that by 6 million, the number of people on the earth today. That's the weight Jesus is carrying as he's heading south to Jerusalem. So now I'm going to tell you the story out of Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Listen closely, because when I'm done telling you the story, I'm going to ask you two in your group, two to tell the story back to your group. So one of you tell the first half of the story, and the other of you tell the last half of the story. It's a short story, so it's pretty easy to do. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem from Galilee. He's heading south, and he's going through the region of Samaria from Galilee. And as he's getting to the border between Galilee and Samaria, he's entering a village. And as he's entering the village, there's 10 men a distance off, lepers. And they shouted to Jesus. They saw him. They shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus, looking up, said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." As the lepers were going, their disease was healed. One of the lepers, as he was going, looked and went, "I'm healed." And he ran to Jesus, praising God, "Praise God, praise God." He's shouting, and he falls at Jesus' feet, thanking him. "Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed." This man was a Samaritan. Jesus, seeing the man at his feet, said, "Didn't I heal 10 lepers? Where are the other 9? Is no one returning to give God praise for what he has done?" Jesus looked at the man and said, "Get up. Go. Your faith has healed you." That's the story. Now, two of you in your group, one share the first half, one share the last half, as much as you can remember. You don't have to have it perfect. Just tell what you can remember. Okay? Ready? Go. By now, how did you do? Okay, very good. Okay, class, okay, so Jesus was going south to Jerusalem, and he had to pass through the region of Samaria to get there. And as he was getting to the border of the Galilee and Samaria, he was entering a village, and there he saw 10 lepers. Who were far off, and they shouted to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so Jesus shouted back to them, "Go to McDonald's." No, go to the McPriests. Go to the priests. And show yourselves to them. And as they were going, something happened. They were healed. And one of them, who as he was going noticed, "I'm healed," went running back to Jesus, doing what? Praising God. And he fell at Jesus' feet to say, "Thank you." Jesus said, "Didn't I heal 10 lepers? Where are the others? Where are the other 9? Isn't anyone coming back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Now that's a clue. He's a Samaritan. And Jesus recognizes him as a foreigner, because Samaritans and Jews were different nationalities by this time. Jesus said to the man, as he picked him up, he said, "Go, your faith has healed you." Your faith has healed you. Okay, so we have had the story go through our minds and our mouths 3 times now. So in your group, describe what it might have felt like to be a leper. What problems did a leper of Jesus' day have to deal with? Okay, that question is on your outline in your group. What might have it felt like to be a leper? What might have it felt like to be Jesus' disciples as they watched Jesus engage the lepers? And what might Jesus feel like dealing with the lepers? Okay, discuss those 3 questions. Let's just throw out a couple of answers here. What it might have felt like to be a leper?
Abandoned.
What? Ostracized, can't even go into town to buy food. How do you get food?
Disconnected.
Outcast, yes. Shunned. These are all hard words. Hopeless. Yeah, I'm always going to be like this. There's no way out of this disease. Okay? What do you think it might have been felt like to be the disciples, Jesus' disciples, watching him work with the lepers? You want me to do what? Yeah, okay. I'm hearing a voice. Oh, where's it coming from? Oh, here. Oh, what if Jesus got close enough to contract the disease himself? Okay, that's a legitimate worry. Yeah, way before this.
So Jesus is up to doing this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? That's a Samaritan woman. You know you're not supposed to be.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's one group said the disciples are used to this by now. But let's remember the disciples, if they are in their 20s to 40s, have had at least 20 to 30 years of cultural teaching on how things are supposed to be, and here's Jesus crossing the line all the time. Okay, right. What do you think it was like for Jesus dealing with the leper?
Easy for him. I think it was easy.
Okay, easy. What else?
I have reason to believe he and the Father talked about that early in the morning.
Okay. Yep. John chapter 5. I do not do anything on my own. I do what I see my Father doing. Good. I'm sorry? Right. So maybe it was sadness on Jesus' part. The other nine didn't come back, okay? To say. We're thinking, the story doesn't tell us if they were all Jewish, but we know that one was a Samaritan, and that he said, go show yourselves to the priest, indicates that most of them, if not, well, we know most of them were Jews. Go to the priest. The Samaritans had their priests too, but they were a different kind of a mixed religion of Judaism and paganism. Okay? All right, let's go on to some spiritual observations from this. So let me make this statement. Even though Jesus was carrying his own emotional burden of going to the cross, he chose to care for others who had big burdens of their own. He chose to go to the cross, or he chose to care for others who had big burdens of their own, while he was packing a huge burden of his own. What other choices could Jesus have made? He could have kept on walking in the village, ignored the lepers. Okay, he could have asked how they got the disease in the first place. I can't hear you. He could have only healed the Jews and left the Samaritan unhealed. Okay. He could have stayed home. I could have had a V8. He could have healed them without them requesting. Is that what you said? Without requesting them to go see the priest. Yes. Said, heal you. There, done. You're healed. Okay. Gary?
He could have chosen to concentrate on his purpose.
Big point. Gary said he could have chosen to concentrate on his own mission, forgetting everyone else. Because remember, he's carrying a very heavy load emotionally right now. What are you like when you're carrying a heavy emotion? Yes. Yep.
And so as he's going, he's still Jesus that we know. He's still compassionate. He's still caring. But he is about to do his Father's will.
He's about his Father's business. But isn't it, if Jesus had said, lepers, sorry, can't deal with you right now. I got something I'm focused on. Now let me ask you this question. Do not raise your hand if the answer is yes for you. Have you ever been going to a religious activity and bypassed somebody who needed help on the way? Sorry, can't help you. I got to go do a religious thing. That was not Jesus' heart. He had a heart of compassion. What do we learn spiritually about Jesus based on the choice he did make? What do we learn about Jesus spiritually based on the choice he did make?
Yeah,
Okay? God loves everybody. He's going to deal with folks who are outcasts to the common community. Okay, good point. He plants the seed that his message is going to go beyond just the Jew to the Gentile, too, who's the Samaritan man. Yes. Chrissy.
Because the lepers asked him, to me, that's an example, whatever you ask. You want anything. I mean, did it really have a choice?
So Jesus heard the request from the lepers, and he acted on it. What do we learn about that, about Jesus from that? Ask and he listens. Okay, now we have other scriptures that balance that out. It says you ask with wrong motives, or if you are loving sin, is God going to hear your prayer? Those kind, we know those scriptures are there to balance out that. I can't just ask for anything I want anytime I want. God's my vending machine. Mercy. They were asking for mercy. What did they get?
Grace.
Ariana. No. Uncle Bob.
You know,
he healed him. He healed 10. One came back. One expressed his gratefulness. And the other 9 lost their healing. What do we learn about Jesus that even though 9 did not come back to say thank you, that their healing remained? Choose your friends wisely. Yeah. He doesn't give and they go, oh, because you didn't give to me, I'm taking it back. Didn't do that. Yes. Okay. Okay. When Jesus chooses to give and heal, he gives and heals. Yes. Yes. That was the culture. She asked, did the 9 go to the priest and give their offerings, and the answer is yes. Remember the Old Testament background we looked at. They're going to the priest to give an offering, to get the ceremonial cleansing, to be declared, yes, I am clean. The priest said so, and I get a re-engaged community now. Okay, so yeah, they were busy doing that part. Okay, here and then there. Great point. He said that Jesus is accepting the praise, but he called him. He didn't say, has no one returned to me to give glory? He says, return to God. And so he's connecting himself to God in a subtle way. He said, I'm God too. It's appropriate for you to come back and give glory to me. Okay, Mike and then Ken. Ah, good point.
I think that's the beginning of a transition to help people understand that you no longer have, and I don't think what they did going to the priest was wrong.
No.
I actually think God probably acknowledged them in that situation, and they probably did give it.
Right, right.
But it was just Christ at that moment showing the difference, you know.
Yeah.
The transition.
Mike is sharing that there's a transition coming where the 9 who are going to the priest to, in a sense, engage God, The Samaritan came directly back to Jesus, God. I don't need someone intermediate in order to engage God. Woo! That's coming. That's coming. You see, this is the good stuff about this method. We're digging stuff out that well, I'm not going to say that he might not get in a sermon. Ken? Ken is saying that the Samaritan who came back to say thank you to Jesus had even a deeper healing to hear who they said Jesus' master, he's called him, to hear the master say, go, your faith has healed you. That's pretty exciting, okay? One more comment here. Remember, we see Jesus a lot of times when he is asked to do something. It's usually his response usually comes with an assignment. Something your faith must engage to do. Go to the priests. Show yourselves to them. Okay. Colleen? Yeah, the question is, can the Samaritan even go to the priest? Not to the Jewish priest, I don't think. He's known as a Samaritan. So he knew that, and perhaps he says, well, I can't go to the priest, so I'm going to go back directly to Jesus. He's my priest. Yeah. Okay. So let's throw out a few. Yes, Joanna? Yeah, the priests, they don't like the attention being taken from them to Jesus, do they? Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's throw out a few words now. What do we learn about Jesus spiritually, relationally, based on the choice he did make to heal the lepers? Just one or two word phrases.
Unconditional.
He's unconditional. He's compassionate.
Gracious.
What's that?
Merciful.
A perfect love. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear of punishment. Good. Okay. Completely effective. Jesus is completely effective. Yes. Embracing. Jesus embraces the lepers. Now, the story doesn't say that he walked to the lepers and touched them, but we know in other places he did. Ariana? What?
Non-judgmental.
That's a big one.
He was amazingly focused.
He was focused. Right. Right. Let's think about focused for a minute. Yes, he was focused on his mission. That was always first. Remember at the wedding at Cana, turning the water to wine. His mother said, "The wine's gone. You know, take care of this problem. Make some more wine. You know, miraculously." And Jesus said, "Woman, my time has not come yet." He's on his mission, but it's too early to be known as Jesus to all the world yet. But he does it anyway. He honors his mother. Amazing, amazing. Okay, any other words or phrases to describe our Jesus? Lots of good words here. We are all acceptable to him. Okay, Jesus accepted the lepers. Any of you feel like a leper? Sometimes, in some ways?
Accessible.
Jesus is accessible. What was the result of Jesus' choice? Let's think about that question for a little bit. What was the result of Jesus' choice? Okay, we know 10 lepers were healed. What else? Karen?
Changed
their lives. They can re-engage the community. They can go to work. They can go home. They can provide for themselves now. They can touch their kids. Wow.
He healed
their families.
One
believed in Jesus, yes?
Changed values.
That's the word for repentance. It's around here. Repentance means to change my values to God's values. Yeah. Yes, Dan?
Even the nine would have trouble when somebody asked them, now how did you get healed? They still have to acknowledge that Jesus did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't ignore the fact that it wasn't when we got to the priest that we were healed, as well, we were on the way. Wow, I'm healed.
Hope
was a result of Jesus' choice. Okay, let's respond to God. Let's respond to God. In other words, let's live this story, okay? Let's live this out in our own lives. Is Jesus still choosing to care for people today? Yes, okay. In your group, I would like you to share examples of Jesus caring for people today. Maybe it's you. Use a personal example of Jesus caring for you. Okay? Go ahead and share those comments. Brothers and sisters, as we wrap up our time here together this morning, let's respond to God here. From the insights you discovered today, if you're willing, share with your group how you will apply one thing you've learned today. In the time we have left, I'd like you to write your answer down on your outline. Write your answer. What's one thing you're willing to do? To apply something you've gained in this story, in this account of Jesus' healing, to your own life today. So I've titled today's message, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, because we can use this word in two ways. One, like the one healed leper who returned to thank Jesus, thankkeeping means to keep a grateful heart and to be thanking God for his love and kindness all the time, regardless of what's going on. Secondly, like the nine healed lepers who did not return to thank Jesus, we can keep our thanks in our own heart but not express it to the people who need to hear it, to our God, to whom we are thankful. So this week, write one note of thankfulness to God and one note of thankfulness to a person and deliver it. So that's your assignment for today. How was this sermon for you today? Did you like it? Let's respond to God in song. He's like a great big eagle who has these wonderful, powerful, strong wings. And we're going to come under those wings, be thankful to him. Let's stand together and sing praise to him.